Hallelujah, hallelujah. He has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. Hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. The devil thought he had you. But all he had done was sting your knee or your ankle.
But you crushed his head. You have overcome the world. Glory be to God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Hallelujah. Quickly turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And I want to read verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he did what? Oh, you're not following me. He did what? Read what your version says. On account of sin, he... Okay, my version says condemned. He condemned sin. I need you to remember that. Sin has been condemned. And verse 4 says, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled, thank you, in me, because I walk after the Spirit. Amen. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in them that walk according, now let me get it right, who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Now the question is, how do you walk according to the Spirit? Because that's what qualifies you. That's what qualifies you to enjoy the righteous requirements of the law. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Huh? What does it mean? Because that is the condition. Those who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God gave me an answer. So the first time I read this, I didn't see it. But now that I've read it, I think this should be the most traversed, the most read couple of verses in the book of John. It's in John 16. John 16, and I want to read from verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. It reads, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will do what? He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. I hope you know the Spirit of God does not have hearing. He doesn't have, there's no issue between him and heaven. Because whatever he hears, he speaks. The question is, do you hear what he speaks? That's the question. Because there's no problem with the Holy Ghost hearing for you. The question is, are you in the position to be able to hear? Amen. Let's read on. Let's read on. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will not, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Here's a test. Let me see if you catch this. Let me reverse it, to be rewind small to verse 14. He will glorify me. That is, the Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus. Yeah? And he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Okay, we missed it. Let me read it again. For he will take of what is mine. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read it, because that will buttress the point I'm trying to make, how to walk in the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll start with, or no, let us go to Hebrews chapter 4. Mr. O. There you go, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. So what separates soul from spirit? The word. Where do you hear when God speaks to you? I'll repeat myself. What separates soul from spirit? Thank you. Where do you hear when God speaks to you? Your spirit. Amen. So to get to that position where you can hear clearly, you need to give yourself to God's word. That's it. It's that simple. To give yourself to God's word. That's simple. That's it. Yeah. It gets to a point, it separates your soul from your spirit. When he hears and he speaks, you're in a position to hear and do and obey, and the victory comes to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But I've come here to do a part two on what I started two months ago. Say with me, divine health. Okay, wake up. Divine health. Divine health is mine. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Quickly in your Bible, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I want to read chapter 5. Yes, thank you, Spirit. I will show them. Let us start. Let us read first of all. Thank you. Verse 19. Or if we back up, because verse 19 connects to 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. The who? The world. I have a feeling people read this and they think it reads the church. No, you are the world before you got born again. Okay, so it is the world that he is reconciling to himself through Jesus Christ and has. Okay, Mr. O, that's not the verse. Not, that is not what I was looking for. Thank you. That is that God, verse 19. All right. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them. Did you read that? God is not holding the sin of the world against the world. How much more you? Now let's quickly go to verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin. Now, that is the only reason. I strongly believe that's the only reason why we celebrate Resurrection Weekend. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. The devil heard. God told him, he will bruise your ankle. Sorry, you will bruise his ankle. He will crush your head. But then behold, after Good Friday, there the Son of God appears at the gate of hell. For the devil and his cause to rejoice, there must have been something mad on Jesus. For them to know, aha, this one belongs here. That was your sin and my sin. He bore the qualifying reason why anybody is incarcerated in hell. He bore your sin. He didn't commit sin. He took your sin on himself. That's the only reason. Huh? Come on. Unless the devil is anointedly foolish. Because he heard when God said, he heard it. Head, oh, your head will crush it. But all you will do is his ankle. But he saw the Son of the Living God with a mark on him. The mark for which, so this one is forever is joining us. Amen. But glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. They said they were looking for sign. God said, okay, the sign we'll give them is the sign of, remind me the prophet again. And the fish. Jonah and the fish. Same way as the belly for 3 days. The Son of Man too. 3 days. Why 3 days? Did Jesus need 3 days to fight all those demons? No. Because God set it as 3 days. If God wanted it to be 3 seconds, it would be 3 seconds. But God just said 3 days. Third day, he turns up. And I'm sure you've heard me say this before. Because I have two ways of looking at it. The power of the righteousness of God could not bear it anymore. 3 days, my son has been there. Invades the whole of hell. Releases Jesus, takes him and go. That's one way. That's action film. I want to believe God. You know, he walks in. What are you doing here? I created this so I can go anywhere I want to go. So I just choose to come here today. And then he goes, you see, you said I was going to crush my head. Look at him now. He bears a mark that all everybody that is incarcerated here, he has sin in him. See, he's here. I've crushed you. God just quietly says, you know, I'm a God of my word. And my word says, the wages of sin is death. Can you point to one sin? One sin that he has committed. The devil starts to look through their files, the accuser of brethren. He keeps record. He starts to look from the day he was born. Start to look, started sweating. Use computer, whatever database system they had then. He started, whatever, search Jesus sin, star dot star, hit enter. Looked, was getting frustrated. He said only one for him to keep the Son of God here. Glory be to God. He couldn't find one. He could not find one. So God said, well, we can't keep him here. We can't keep him here. Let's go. Jesus stands up. But before they leave, he turns to the devil and says, the same way you are powerless to him now is the same way you are powerless to anyone. Anyone, irrespective of age, anyone, man, boy, woman, girl, anyone who believes in him, the same way you're powerless to him, the same way you can't do anything by walking away, is the same way you're powerless to everyone who believes in him. And that is you. Amen. That is the reason why today should be the day we just come and just shout, hallelujah, glory be to God, hallelujah, amen. He took my sin. That's the reason why I ended up there. But he's not there again. People wear cross. He's not on the cross. He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for me. You know, he had to bear those nails. He did that, but he didn't stay there. They put him in a grave. They rolled the stone. But he's not. Go and look for him. He's not there. He's alive. And that's why Jesus is Lord. That's why Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The same way the devil was powerless against him is the same way the devil is powerless against you. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Now, watch this. He didn't commit sin. That's 2 Corinthians 5. verse 21, he committed no sin. He knew no sin, but he made him who knew no sin to be sin. Are you ready to shout? I'm talking to you. I say, are you ready to shout? Yeah, I like responsive crowd. Amen. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin. For who? I like that. As I said, for me. Thank you. For me. You can be selfish with God's word. Everything here is for you. For me. I don't know about you. For me. Amen. For me. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. I think this is where, maybe if I speak in tongues, what God has put in me would come out clearer. Because there's no way, well, God give me the words. You didn't commit any righteousness, but he has made you the righteousness of God. The same way he became sin. Qualified candidate for hell is the same way he has made you righteous. Qualified candidate for eternal life. Oh, that's a place to shout, and the service just finishes. You have permission to do that. Just praising God because you've heard something that has set you free. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He did not take a portion of his righteousness. Because did you not take a portion of your sin? He took the whole one. He took everything. So the same way, God did not put a portion, a fraction, a section, a segment of his everything that makes him right. He has put it in you. The same way he is righteous. Because it is his righteousness that he has placed in you. And that's why, in rounding up, because I'm conscious of time. Where are we going? 1 Corinthians, yes, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think this should be the greatest message. You need to shout it, to shout it loud, so people can hear. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 27. Nope. Actually, let's go straight to the point. Verse 34. Amen. Awake. Awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Can a dead man wake up? No. But you were dead in sin. But God sent his son for you, made you alive. You are not alive. It's only people that are alive that can wake up. Amen? So God is saying, wake up. But what you're waking up to is righteousness. A consciousness of who you are in Christ. A fully conscious of who you are. And I still struggle with this. But you see, the consciousness of righteousness starts with you realizing. And then you have to understand, and I'm glad Pastor went to that, Philippians chapter 2. You have to realize the consciousness of righteousness starts with the same way he is right. I am right. There's no difference. Because Jesus took the full of your sin. He became sin. The same way God is right, I am right. In spite of the past. Huh? Remember, the Bible says, he condemned sin. So that means, righteousness means you live as though sin never existed. Never existed, because he has condemned it. In the heart of God, there's no longer any sin issue. Because even when you do sin, what does First John tell you? Thank you. Go to him. Confess it to him. Yeah. The devil would. It's none of your business. This is family business. You can't understand. I know you are angry because you have committed. Okay, he did not commit sin. He created iniquity. So there's no forgiveness. Because nobody tempted him. So even because we know your end. That's why you are recording my sin. But I've confessed it to him who matters. And he says he is faithful and just to forgive me. And do what? Cleanse me. Sin. To the righteous. To the believer who is conscious of who he is in Christ, sin never existed. I don't care what you... It's like one of those days, Kenneth Copeland, I think he did something, he felt he did something wrong. So, you know, one word, you know, the same way when Adam and Eve ate the apple, they ran, guilt. So he too was feeling, you know, the weight of guilt and all of that. So he found First John, he confessed it. But then he didn't forget it. Oh, sorry. It was in the morning or before he had an evening session to minister. He ministered, the power of God moves mightily. Ah, so when he got to the hotel, oh, God, you still moved through me. But then, remember what I did? God said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, remember the thing? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Go back to 1 John and read it. I forgave you. When you confessed, it wasn't when I found out about it. No, that's when we got rid of it. And it's gotten rid of. He condemned sin. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm asking you now, if indeed you are the righteousness of God, if indeed you have been made right, how can you allow anything wrong in your body? How can you permit? Isaiah 53 verse 5 is clear. By the stripes of Jesus, not you are going to be healed. You are healed. How can somebody who is healed be sick unless you permit that in your body? You, listen, your spirit can never be sick. It's not your spirit that's sick. It's the body. But that spirit, the day you said, Jesus, come into my, whether you realize it or not, you became the very righteousness of God. Because see, with righteousness, you don't grow in it. No, it's a full package. He took the full package of your sin. So you took the full package of his righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have been made right. So there's no, it's illegal. It's illegal for anything to now latch yourself to your body. I don't care what it's called. Amen. Simply Philippians chapter 2 verse that we read. God gave him a name that is above every name. Cancer is a name. The name of Jesus is above it. Someone did not hear me. I said, cancer is a name. And the name Jesus is above it. Flu is a name. The name Jesus is above it. Amen. You have been made right. Amen. You have been made right. Hallelujah. Oh, it's God's will. Shut up. God's will. I nearly went to go. I just walked out. And I think it was in 2000 and I don't remember now. By the way, can you support me, please? It was 2000 and I came to 2001. 2002 or 2003, I was in church, and the man of God said that this lovely believer who had cancer, it was God that I wanted to start up and just maybe give him a few punches so his head can be correct. How can you say God put cancer on? How can you say that? How can he? With which hand would he pick the cancer? And if it did pick the cancer, what would happen to that cancer? Amen. I think it was Isaiah. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 10:27. For it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be removed from your shoulder and the yoke detached, the yoke destroyed. That's what the presence of goodness does. So how can you sit there and even permit yourself for 1 second to think? He makes you sick to teach you something. You are the righteousness of God. You are His righteousness. And I wanted to say this. Thank you, Spirit of God. I mean, my children are growing up. I mean, if I, as a natural father, can be filled with such emotions for my son, even after he has done something I told him not to do and I've whacked him. If I can feel such compassion, how much more God? When he stands in the mirror, if there's any mirror in heaven, you are who he sees because you're in his image. But now in a better form, you are now his righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have been made right. Divine health is yours. But I learned something very shocking a couple of weeks ago. God is not going to do it for you to make divine health what you now enjoy. Now John is going to start school in September. At nursery, he feeds himself. When he comes home, he wants mommy and daddy to feed him. So because my wife says, if you don't feed him, he won't eat. But feed him. Do you think we'll do the same thing when he's 10 years old? Feed him. Don't eat now. See, that is why when he just got born again, it was so easy to walk in health or to believe God for healing and healing comes. It gets to a point, God expects you to mature and do it for yourself. The table has been set. He has prepared that table before you. And on that table is all you require, all you need to live a life of victory. Yeah. Victory. Victory. But he's not going to do it for you. Divine health is staring at you in the face. He has made you his righteousness. All you have to do is take it and make it yours. And make it yours. And make it yours. Even if it's for all those times the devil made you sneeze. Imagine the sun is out and you're sneezing. Because, what's it called now? Heavy fever. Even if it's for all those times he made you realize, I know. Divine health. God is not going. He sent his son as the evidence that if you stand on his word, what he has said will be yours. What more do you want him to do for you? What more? What more? Wake up! Wake up! See, the reason why most of us are not quick to latch onto divine healing, or the reason why we are, this is not now. If you feel you are being condemned, maybe you need to spend some time with God, because God doesn't condemn. This is why it is quicker for us to run to doctors than to God's word. It's a sin consciousness. Because if you are conscious of who you are, and you know that with every stripe they laid on Jesus, the devil lost his right to put anything on your body permanently. You will run to God's word and get your healing. Or you live life such a way that symptom will see you and run. That's crazy. That one believes. He believes letter by letter what has been written. Don't go to him. If you love you, don't go to Mr. O. He will knock you out. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to end with this. What is the evidence that you are living in divine health? Because you're not feeling any pain. Is it because you can jump up and run like this young boy every day? Is that your evidence of divine health? Your evidence of divine health is that you wake up every morning and you say, I believe I receive healing for my body. You say, but you're not sick. That's sin consciousness. You don't wait to be sick to receive healing. It is the healing continuously that keeps you in divine health. Why are you waiting to get sick before you start? No. You wake up, Father, I receive healing in my body. Bible says in Romans, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ. You see, there was a difference. He started with Jesus. When I said, he that raised Christ from the dead will also give. If you don't receive, would you enjoy it? Also, your consciousness, I receive life in my mortal body this morning. And start your day. I receive divine healing in my body. Now break bread. I say, cancer, you're on the cross. You can't come near me. Why wait? I wait until the doctor diagnosed. No, you can't. You're not speaking in your name. You're speaking in a name that is above that sickness. I don't care what it is. And maybe you need to study your family and find out what. And see, my arthritis, who are you? What do you mean? No. If arthritis run your family, you have to realize you are born again. You are now connected to a new DNA. And in that DNA, there's no arthritis. So have break bread. Arthritis. No. The last generation, that's where it stopped. From now on, it's over. Because I know by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Break bread. Listen. You're not saying in your name. Break bread to remember he broke his body so that you could live whole. Amen. Whatever plagues doesn't need to touch you. Don't wait for it. Attack it now. Attack it now and tell it. In the name of Jesus, you don't touch me, my wife, my children. You break bread. You say, Father, we're doing this in remembrance of everything that Jesus has done for us. He overcame the world. The victory is now ours. Amen. That's divine health. And you keep doing it. Crapadola says something very special about 3 John 2. God says, he wished above all things that you prosper in all things and be in health. You spend time with that word so much, you believe it so much. God will say, God has given me one. My wife. God will lead you to people who tell you how and what to eat. That one's part of it. God will keep confessing, and then you eat pounded yam every single day. Pounded yam this size. There's no meat. Voila. And then vegetables, that's one small portion. Amen. Eat rice. And then if there's no meat, the rice is not complete. When there's a mixed veg that you can put. And cucumber, yes. That you can eat. Amen. God will lead you to Holy Ghost inspired nutritionists, because what you eat too, that's to. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. It gets to the point. Yes, you start off confessing, but then you start walking in wisdom. Bread. Why eat too much bread? Do you know what they put in that bread? Okay, let me. I'm not interested in this. I'll let those who have the grace to do that to share it. Mine is to let you know divine health is yours. And because he will back that promise, as you walk in it, he will lead you. He will show you who those who by practice are now enjoying divine health just because of what they eat, how they treat their body. Now, they're not afraid that they're not doing it in fear. They're not doing it in honor and respect. Amen. Have you learned something this morning? Give God praise and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Divine health is yours. God has made you right with His rightness. Nothing wrong has the right to dwell in your body. Amen. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Nothing. And if you need pictorial evidence, point to today. He's risen. I said He's risen. I said He's risen. I said He's risen. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And He is Lord. Let's just sing that once or twice.
Sing that song. I just want you to, you know, whatever it is, you know, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You are going to hit from that table. Just like I would eat from that table. Anything that is arousing your body now, your mind, name it, you know, by name and say, you are a disease. And I reject you. And I command you to leave my body. Go ahead and do that personally. You know, speak to it. You've received the word of God. I want you to speak to that if it's arousing your body. Whatever it is, it has been paid for. Or your mind. There's also healing for your mind. But you have to take hold of it. You have to take hold of it. He has prepared the table before you. You have to take hold of you. So name it. I say, I refuse you. I reject. I do not permit you in my body. I command you in the name of Jesus. Leave my body. I do not permit you to remain in my body. I say, leave. Leave. I do not give you any space. I do not have you. No. I do not have you. I do not have you. You're not in me. You're not in my body. Jesus paid. So I refuse you. Leave my body. Call it by name. Whatever it is, call it by name. And say, in the name of Jesus, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because I believe in Jesus. He has given me His righteousness. And in that authority, that boldness of righteousness, I do not permit you. I say, leave oppression. Leave my body. Depression. Leave my mind. You have to speak to it. Speak to it. It's personal. It's personal. Take hold now. Take hold. Eat from the table. It's yours. It's yours. Take it. Take it now. Whatever part of your body has a problem, put your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to turn around. Behold. Behold. Jesus' body was broken so that my body can be whole. Jesus suffered. He suffered pain and agony so that my mind can be restored. I claim wholeness in my mind, in my body. Speak it to your children. Speak it to your family in the name of Jesus Christ. Any family curse, any family affliction, it stops in my domain. I do not carry it. I do not transmit it. I do not. I'm of a different kind. I'm of a different kind. I'm of a different DNA. My DNA is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. My DNA is the blood of Jesus. My DNA is the blood of Jesus. And in the blood of Jesus, there is no disease. In the blood of Jesus, there is no curse. In the blood of Jesus, there is no oppression. And in the blood of Jesus, there is no depression.